Malolezwafua. Oh, gosh, help me out. Malolezwafua.
You
help
can
me.
Do it.
Come
you
on,
can
Lydia.
Do it. Okay.
I thought I was going to be saying Talofa Lava. Help me out.
Okay, well, I did throw you a bit of a curveball.
You did.
So it's Samoan Language Week. I hope everyone who is listening knows that because it is Friday. What the saying that I wanted Catherine to say today was Malolezwafua. Give it a go.
Malolezwafua.
Soy as in soy milk, I hope. My Samoan sisters who taught me that saying, I am saying it correctly. So thank you, Sana and Moira, for teaching me that. It's malo le soy fua.
And it means, literally translates as?
As hello, welcome,
greetings.
A beautiful, it's a formal greeting, a more formal greeting than saying talofa lava.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I'm sorry I didn't practice before I started, because that's the thing
sorry
with language.
Sorry for throwing you a curveball.
No, but it's the thing with language learning, and we are all on that journey, is that you make mistakes when you start, and then you get better.
Yes,
and
that's right.
And that's how we learn our first language, and it's certainly how we learn any other language.
And I found that because I am a non-Pacifica woman working in a Pacific space, and over the course of this year, I've learned so many beautiful phrases and words and just pronounced names properly or better, and I wish that I didn't have to move into a Pacific space to have improved so much. And yeah, I just encourage people just to really try and learn some more, I guess, more phrases, not just the first, you know, greeting that comes up on Google, because there are some beautiful words. And it's, you know, after a year in this Pacific team, I'm just, you know, so proud to be able to pronounce things a little bit better.
Do you know, the other thing is the generosity that people have. Sometimes it's a real subtlety. It's where an emphasis goes. It's often it's where an emphasis goes. A little bit like te reo. It is a subtle change in vowel sound. And people are generous. They will stand by you and walk you through it. All right, let's crack on with the news, Lydia. And in Tokelau, there's, it's had its first community outbreak of COVID, of course.
Can you believe it? First community cases. I mean, we've moved right on from this. I mean, and this is a country that's facing or experiencing its very first cases. They had their first lockdown, which they came out of last week. And it's really hard to actually report on Tokelau. And I'm really lucky that they speak with me and let me in, because it's a very small made up of three atolls, and they don't have many people. It's around 1,000 people. And they've had their first four community cases. And you can imagine this is very scary. I mean, we all remember what it was like when those first cases entered the border. They've just had their first lockdown, and the lockdown has just ended. And then I tried to contact them all week, just trying to get an update. And it's so hard, Catherine, to get through. The phone connectivity is just so sparse. But I managed to interview the head of the government this week via Facebook Messenger. So we finally got through, and he told me that the latest is that they have four community cases. It's all in one household, one family. They do have, you know, fever symptoms, but everyone's okay. And just a note before we move on to the next story, Tokelau is now officially the second to last country in the world to experience community transmission. Turkmenistan still has zero cases, last time I checked, so they are the last.
What an achievement, and good to see that things are under control, it seems.
Yes.
Now, in Nauru, I think this is an exclusive story for you. This is the first year, of course, of this deal that New Zealand did with Australia over refugees. And what's going to happen? The deal will not be fully met.
Yes. So the deal for anyone just catching up is the refugees that have been detained on, you know, by Australia in Nauru and also in PNG's Manus Island, those that have been moved to Australia and are still being held in Nauru could come to New Zealand under this deal that was brokered. And yeah, basically New Zealand's picking up the buck here and really, you know, helping Australia out, because they've come under huge scrutiny over the mistreatment of refugees over decades. And the issue here that refugee advocates have and what they've said to me is 150 refugees, or up to 150 refugees, were supposed to come to New Zealand in the first year, which ends, and it's a financial year, so it ends June 30th. So that's coming up. So I thought I would just check in, given there's only really a few weeks to go. And the New Zealand government told me that they've only got 31 through. So 31, supposed to be 150. That's a big gap. But the numbers will roll over, so those that haven't come through this year, they'll still be able to come through, and it's a 3-year deal, so I guess I'll have more on this as the years go on, and yeah, we'll just see what happens.
There's been some preliminary findings in a new report into sextortion. Just explain what it is and what this report has found, please, Lydia.
Sextortion, or sexual extortion, is a term that they use as someone who has been asked for sexual favours in exchange for someone wanting to access a public service. So this is a Transparency International survey. They do lots of reports into corruption around the world, and this is a specific one across the Pacific, the first of its kind, and they've interviewed women across the Pacific, and they're going to release the full findings at the end of the year. But I bumped into their Pacific advisor at a conference, and we got chatting, and she told me about the preliminary findings of this report, that it's really high in the likes of Papua New Guinea, and I just thought that was quite interesting, and I thought I'd share it with our readers online, that sextortion is a big issue in the Pacific. Women are finding it really tough, trying to go for jobs, and then, they're getting told that they need to do sexual favours to get places. And so we'll hear more about that later on in the year as well, when the rest of that survey is released.
Now back to Fiji's 2000 coup leader, George Speight. He is seeking a pardon.
Yes. So this is a big story for Fiji. Really significant. He was the leader of Fiji's 2000 coup, and he's applied for a presidential pardon under a mercy clause. So that just means if he's successful, he could be released for prison. He's been in prison for over 20 years. It's a lifetime sentence, was going to be a death sentence, but it's been changed to a lifetime sentence. And his argument is that he should be set free because other coup leaders are free, even can be prime ministers. So he also wants to be set free. But this has obviously raised questions around disrespect to the Indian community, because the nature of this coup, I mean, we've got to understand the context. So when Chaudhry was in power, he was Fiji's first ethnic Indian prime minister, and largely supported by, Indo-Fijian communities and administration. That is when Speight came in and, conducted the coup. He held Chaudhry under gunpoint for more than 50 days. And, I was speaking with our reporter, my dear friend, Rachel Nath, who has been covering the story alongside the legendary Calvin Anthony yesterday. And they were just saying that this was the first civilian coup to be staged, and it was really, really significant. So, I mean, Rambuka has kind of toed and froed as to what he thinks of a pardon over the years. He said, no, he should never be pardoned. And then he backtracked last year and said, a release could be possible. So now we're just waiting to see what's going to happen, and that's up to the head of Fiji, the president, to decide.
A couple of minutes left. There's been a significant passing in Tonga's royal family.
Yes, this has been really big news across Aotearoa, across Tonga, across the world this week. Princess Melesio Ili Kutapu, she passed away at age 75. She's been remembered for her service to the community. And I spoke with the Prime Minister's office this morning, and they confirmed that a funeral is being prepared for tomorrow, and flags will be flown at half mast tomorrow, remembering her. So offa atu to our Tongan community listeners out there. We feel for you, and our hearts are with you at this time.
Thank you, Lydia Lewis from RNZ Pacific.